Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Shout out to Dane and Hughes joining us. We are live here at Raven Tower. And if you're in the building, we're about to start hooking folks up. All right, we've got plenty of giveaways. We got four $25 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. We have a free oil change, any vehicle you want. Tom Ball Ford, shout out to Tom Ball Ford. You can go in. I feel like we got somebody who is going to get them a free oil change at Tom Ball Ford. In the building, you got a chance to win that. And the big prize a little bit later on, your chance to win a pair of tickets to that Texans-Colts game at the end of the season. That will be a huge game. You got a chance to win those coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. So make your way out here to Raven Tower. Oh, you didn't get started, huh?
Where you think Eddie is right there, bro?
What is that? I had to mix in the water.
I got old tropical tequila.
Let's go. Don't look at me and then just, you know I'm going to say yes. You know I'm going to say yes.
She's dangerous.
She is. She really is.
She's dangerous.
For the drink perspective.
In every sense of the phrase.
You're right.
There's something. I greatly appreciate the effort, the work. That's dangerous.
All right. Here's some.
Look, see, I told you.
I know she is.
The presentation.
I mean, Andy met her at the met her right
Andy
there.
Andy couldn't wait to get over here.
All right. But make your way on out here. Indoor, outdoor. Food is the food truck here yet?
Yes, I've already ordered.
Food truck is here.
Didn't even wait on you, bub.
Clint already ordered. So get on out here. It's going to be a great time here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. A great way to start your Friday. If you're looking for a landmark, as Clint said earlier, White Oak Music Venue, right next to the White Oak Music
Hell,
Venue.
If you get close, you can see the tower, literally, the tower. I went ahead and went, I'm going to tell you, I went with the tacos. It's Mexican food out there.
Oh.
I got some queso and chips. I'll give you a little dip.
So it's a little different than last time.
Yeah, a little different. I'd say they went from barbecue to Mexican food. Yeah,
there you go. Why not? A little different. I think we could figure something out with that.
I mean, I'll share just in case if you're in a hurry. I'll share.
You ain't got to share. I'm gonna walk out. Shout out, hey, Reggie's in the building. Shout out to Reggie. Reggie Atatula
from
In the Loop.
See you.
All right,
Petaway. Petaway in the building.
Reggie's in the building having a good time. So come on out and have a good time. Hey, some injury news. Shout out to Tyler Milner just dropping that injury report in. Hey, Tyler, they got that thing out quick today, didn't they? We're playing around,
that
huh?
That shocked me, actually, when I saw that land in the inbox.
Some important notes here. Jamal Hill and Jalen Reed, no surprises. They're out. Jalen Reed with the forearm, Hill with the hamstring. Kamari Lassiter, Clint, listed as questionable for the Texans now.
A limited participation listed as questionable. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
After 2 days of no practice and 1 day on the side,
Clint,
I'll take it.
I don't know if he's going to play four quarters, but I think he is. I will be shocked if he doesn't give it a go, and I think it will be because they've held him out. They've said, son, we got to.
Well, I don't know.
And I don't know who's got to be the one to tell him that he ain't going to get a chance to play because he's going to lose his mind.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, I'd love to see him play. I've become a huge fan. My favorite guy to watch on film. But The worst case scenario here in this game in particular is he plays and makes it worse. I have no idea what the injury is. If it's an ankle sprain.
They still have important games after this.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're just huge games. And I mean, if he tries to give it a go here and re-injures something worse, makes it worse, doesn't finish this game, cost himself more games, potentially longer term. I mean, worst case scenario is play and make it worse. If it ain't full go and if everybody ain't 100% comfortable, man, give him some sweats, man. Get him on that sideline. Give him some sweats. D'Amico has been tremendous. Has been tremendous. Jalen Petrie's out. Boom. They're still the number one team in the NFL. I'm not saying Kamari's not more important than that, but D'Amico's been tremendous in overcoming these injuries in the secondary. Let's not make a small problem bigger.
He's going to be hell to be around if he's not able to play.
I agree.
Don't he look like he'll be?
I mean, why don't we?
He'll be over there pissed. He'll be over. Fine. You got to take his. You got to leave his uniform and his helmet at home.
Could you imagine him, Anderson, and Aziz not being able to play in a game like this? And
could you imagine the mood, they're in with their
brutal
significant others, their family, the whole
brutal,
just
brutal.
Awful. So, but he is questionable again. As I said, I think he will give it a go. We'll see how effective he is, and if it either one changes. How Matt Burke and D'Amico want to run defense, or if he's not effective and they have to go in a different.
Well, place. I mean, we're hung up on Kamari Lassiter and rightfully so, but you look at the full participants from today. There's some big names there as well.
Yeah, have no designation.
Well, I mean, D'Anico Autry all of a sudden, although he's been on here every week, so I think this is more of an ongoing issue with him. But D'Anico Autry all of a sudden becomes a far bigger factor in this game. With the Tim Settle injury, he is a far bigger factor. You look at Trent Brown. We talked to him yesterday. Everybody's more in love with him today than they were yesterday before we had him on air with us, which is exactly how it's supposed to work. That hand, the fact that he's a full participant was big.
And they said he's got a broken finger, by the way.
Woody Marks and the fact that he's got that bum ankle, if he's practicing on that ankle, that is a huge plus for the Texans. We've discussed how important he is and how big he's going to be if they're able to win games down the stretch. So Woody Marks is important as well. Full participant today. That's big, man.
Now, Clint, the Chiefs injury report is out too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is one that will really – you may not know it yet. I'll help you. You may not know it yet, but this will have a lot of impact to Texans fans. So we knew from Andy earlier, he said Chris Roland Wallace, who had been playing slot, he's missed last week. He'll miss this week again. He's declared out. Trey Smith, Juwan Taylor, they're doubtful. We said it earlier that Andy said it'd be a long shot for those guys to play. He said Trey Smith is closer than Juwan Taylor, but they are technically listed as doubtful. The only other person
after
they have –
after not participating at all,
and they have not participated all week. They didn't even work on the side like Kamari did. The only other person that is out is Nico Remigio.
Say it again.
Nico Remigio.
There we go. I just make sure. I'm just checking on you.
Now, the reason why, and that is
making
the one.
I had to make sure you meant
and
that.
And that is the one that I think will interest Houston fans because it has him listed as a wide receiver. He has not lined up as a wide receiver since week two. But what he does do every week is he returns punts and kickoffs. And if he is out, he's not returning kickoffs. Damian Pierce is going to be returning kickoffs for the Chiefs in this game. So I was not certain if Damian Pierce would be active in this game. I didn't know that Remigio would be out, but he is their kickoff returner.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave told special teams coach talked about, I don't know if Damian Pierce is going to get in on offense, but he has been working since we got him with our special teams at kickoffs. So
let Damian Pierce turn one. Frank Rossman get his ass run up out of town. What's it?
Hey, now hold on. It ain't like we ain't seen that this year before. So we may with the Nico Remigio being out, we may get a Dameon Pierce sighting.
There we go.
In this game.
Well, good. I'm excited to see him. I like the young
He's guy. Wearing number 34. He took him a while to get that wave cap on when he was at practice. He took 5 minutes to get that rolled up. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was looking at him like, hey, man, you need some help. But it looks like we may get a little Dameon Pierce in this game. But Trey Smith and Juwan Taylor, those are big ones. Big ones. They're doubtful. Again, as I said to you in the first segment, I don't see those guys playing. I don't see those guys coming out. They're injuries, man. I'm sorry, man. High ankle sprain. He's in a walking boot, damn it. High ankle sprain and low ankle sprain on one foot. He said he's closer. I don't see him jumping in this game. And I think they will have three backups. And Mike Caliendo. Whew, and Wanya Morris. Look out. And he's going to have to protect those two gentlemen. Now, they did get to the Super Bowl with Caliendo playing guard, but he was out there. Quinnen Williams was giving him everything he could handle.
Well, luckily, lucky for him, we ain't got no Quinnen Williams on this group.
Yeah, he got Quinnen for two holding penalties. He just drug his ass down with a leg scissors. So that is the latest there from the injury report thing. All right, Clint and the people, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. What if they do win this game, if they are able to pull this game out, right now they're 7-5. This is a place, as Danon said earlier, and they're 0-5 the last five times they played the Chiefs since 2019. What would this mean? 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What would this mean if they pulled this game out?
Shoot, they're in.
They're in the playoffs, yeah.
They're
Their
in.
Their playoff chances go up to above 75%.
Like we, in 2 weeks, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but in 2 weeks, we've gone from, oh, hell, man, you lose another game, you ain't got a chance, to you're
playoffs.
In.
Playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago, that was me right there. What the hell are you talking about? And I think Larry and Stafford's the only one still beating that drum. But everybody else had kind of quieted down a bit, but he is persistent now. Yeah, I mean, you're in. I mean, you got the rest of the way with Arizona and Las Vegas on the schedule, Indy again on the schedule, and Chargers. I mean, you're all but in. So this is a monster game. If you can win this game, you're in, first and foremost. But secondly, I know the organization's going to downplay this. And hell, I don't have a problem with it. Maybe they should. But being the team, I wasn't joking when I was talking to Danon?
Danon Hughes.
Yeah. When I say I'd love to finish the job that the Texans did, I quickly go from, hey, man, we got a lot better chance to getting in, to, damn, it feels good to be the team that knocks their ass out. Damn, it feels good to be the team to swing the knockout punch and knock them off the mountaintop, officially knock them off the mountaintop. That would be – and not because there's some kind of – I'm not a guy that has a hate for Kansas City or a hate for this team or that team.
No, but it's –
a team that has a dynasty – and is looked to be untouchable. Damn sure when you talk about knocking out of the playoffs. I mean, it's one thing to not be at a Super Bowl or AFC Championship. Has Pat missed an AFC Championship since he's been the starter?
No.
I mean,
seven straight years.
Yeah. So I mean, to be a team that can knock these boys completely out of the playoffs would be a really, really, really good feeling. And I think it's something that inside the walls they'd never let us know. But inside the walls of NRG Stadium, I think it would be a feather in the cap. It'd be a reason to walk around with your chest poked out a little bit. It'd be a source of confidence beyond just winning, yes, and giving yourself a better chance to get in the playoffs. So, yeah, it would mean a lot. I think it would mean a lot more than I think we will ever know, even inside them door, that building over there at NRG.
Ray on YouTube and Twitch, and that's R-E-Y, Ray. Ray said, yeah, I think it means the playoffs for us, and KC is the top of the top. That's who you – would have beaten. Text line coming in. As I said, what would it mean if they were able to pull this game off on the road, Sunday Night Football in Arrowhead?
Yep.
And as you said, I think that would end the Chiefs. That would end the Chiefs season.
This year, 2025.
This year, that would end them.
I would rather beat them in an AFC Championship when they were winning 12 and 13 games, no doubt about it. But that's not where we're at right now. This isn't a would you rather segment. At the end of the day, this is what's in front of us. And I'd love to be the team that put the foot on the throat.
Text line, your Texans are real contenders. They would have beaten three top teams we think are contenders in a row. Yeah. Buffalo, Indy Chiefs on the road back-to-back.
Any way you slice it, that run right there is a hell of a three-game run in 2025. Now, I mean, those are some pretty healthy organizations. I know Indy has just arrived, but, hell, Indy won 10 games and missed the playoffs because we knocked them out. I mean, it's not like they've been awful and all of a sudden now they've arrived. They've been a pretty good franchise, and now here they are. They've got some things figured out. I mean, you beat three really healthy, historically good franchises in a row in a season when you started out 0-3. That's
two of them
good
on
point.
The road.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point, man.
Yeah, and also I would say to me, this is outside of Buffalo, they have not been good in the games against the elite teams. Like if you think about it, the teams that you think. Since DeMeco has been here, the teams that you say, all right, I think that team's a Super Bowl contender. I've counted it. They're 2-11 in that time frame over these three seasons. And the two wins are Buffalo, right? Like, I don't count the Silver Springs Ravens they played earlier this year.
The other
games against Baltimore, there's a game against the Lions in there. They've played the Chiefs three times. I think the Rams earlier this year, I think, are legit Super Bowl contenders. They just haven't fared well
in Seattle.
They haven't fared well in the games over this period. And again, outside of Buffalo, who we've talked, I think they just seem to be maybe the worst matchup in the league for Buffalo.
Yeah.
They have not had much success.
Well, any way you slice it, man. I mean, I think that's the next step. We can talk about the lack of success in prime time. Okay, let's go get it. It would be huge in Sunday Night Football in this matchup, right? Because I know we can look at the Chiefs through the lens of, well, the record's not – but when people turn the TV on, they're still turning it on to watch the Chiefs. And if in front of that crowd, you can whoop that ass, that would be impressive.
Oh, yeah, you'll be in front of everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the prime time aspect of it –
They have 57 million people watching their game last week.
Yeah, the primetime aspect of it is big. The as you said, you know, kind of turning that corner and being better against true Super Bowl contending teams would be big. So it's a monster game, no doubt. It's a monster game, man. Our defense versus Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, it's one thing to be a great defense and beat up on a bunch of bad football teams. But, boy, you go out there and you put a notch in your belt against Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes and you keep them below your season average or something along those lines, boy, that's a big-time accomplishment.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, really Joe Burrow one time is the only team in the AFC who's been able to put the Chiefs down in a game they absolutely had to have. You got a chance to do that. Yeah. You got a chance to turn the corner and change where you are coming up in this game. All right, as we continue right here live here at Raven Tower, come on out, have a good time with us. Maybe DeMeco Ryans knew what he was thinking. Him and Nick Caserio knew what they were thinking as we are starting to get an understanding of a player that many of you were hoping the Texans would scoop up. We'll let you know the latest.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On that coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are having a good time. Hey, the bartenders are flowing, the drinks are flowing, the food truck is out. If you're on YouTube and Twitch, you can see Clint's got a couple of tacos, got some queso.
Little street tacos, boy.
There you go. Got him a drink, and you could be in here to enjoy this beautiful Football Friday as we are live here at Raven Tower, 310 North Street. 310 North Street, right next to the White Oak Music Venue. Come on out and hang out with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Again, TV's all over the place. There will be some college football championship games that you can watch tonight. There will be some NBA. The Rockets, they're on tonight that you can watch here. TVs inside, outside, good drinks, good food. It's just a great atmosphere right here in the city, the great city of Houston. So come on out and hang out with us and enjoy yourself. Have a good time. And again, as I said, we're going to start hooking people up. After this segment ends, we will hook up our first couple of winners. Got a chance to win gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. All you got to do is grab a ticket. You see my guy Shay right there. If you're in the building or you're on the way, grab a ticket, put it in our raffle box, and you will have a chance to be a winner. You can win a free oil change. Shout out to Tom Ball Ford.
Come on.
And also, you can win potential tickets to the Texans-Colts game, and that is courtesy of our good friends with the Houston Ford Dealers. A chance to win a pair of tickets to that Houston Texans Colts game coming up at the end of the season. So a lot for you to win here. All right, a lot of you, and we talked about it here, Clint, were wondering, wonder why the Texans didn't potentially jump on Darius Slay. Darius Slay was released by the Steelers, and then the Buffalo Bills, who are currently behind the Texans. The way that the waiver wire goes, it's by record.
Yeah.
And it goes to the team with the least record and on and on and on. And Buffalo, they claimed Darius Slay. Now, Clint, Darius Slay, 34 years old. He was on the Speakeasy podcast last night with Emmanuel Acho and company and said, this is a decision that is a family-oriented decision. And he is not going to join the Buffalo Bills. Also in that interview, he said, hey, man, it's a little cold right now in Buffalo. Bills head coach Sean McDermott said the situation would be looked at as, quote, unfortunate. And he is not going to join the Buffalo Bills. He is contemplating retirement, actually, at 34 years old. He played with the Eagles last year, won a championship. And I wonder if the Texans claimed him.
Yeah.
If Houston would be a destination, he would have gone because Buffalo wasn't. But that right there sounds like that doesn't sound like a D'Amico guy. Like, oh, I got claimed. Nah, I'll pass on Buffalo even though they're in it. It's a little cold there. That's not where I want to go.
Yeah,
it makes more sense on the type of guys that D'Amico likes to bring
I've never met a football coach that was like, yeah, give me the guy that just wants to play in a certain place.
Yeah, I mean, I want
to give me the guy. I want the guy that would play out there next to that bayou out there in that park we're looking at. Like, that's ultimately what they want. But the interesting thing about Slay is, like, what point in your career do you get to, if you get cut, be a free agent? I'll be honest with you. I had no idea. I thought the only way the waiver wire worked was with younger players that were 4 years in the league. I didn't realize you could be an 8 year vet? I didn't realize you could be 8 years in the league and get waived instead of cut.
You said that yesterday.
I mean, you look at you look at it. I mean, obviously it goes down to the waiver wire, and I'm sure he hoped he would get to the Eagles. His word on the street is he hoped he'd get to the Eagles. He clearly didn't do that and didn't want to go to Buffalo. That's the wildest thing ever is a player of that ilk doesn't get to choose where he wants to go when he gets cut.
Yeah, he's been in the league since 2013. So
hell, you're talking about 12 years.
Yeah.
A 12-year veteran gets waived and has to go wherever. I mean, think about it. If one of them, not that the Bills are right now top of the barrel, but what if one of those bottom of the barrel teams said, yeah, we'll take you.
Hell no, I'm
out on that.
Hell no.
And I'll be honest with you, I would have to respect it. I mean, I played with some bad organizations.
Yeah, you would understand that, but it's Buffalo and Josh Allen with they just beat you. You were on the field when they just beat you.
Yeah, I mean, the Buffalo deal is interesting, but just big picture, I mean, hell, the two organizations that I spent an extended period of time with, I mean, if I was a veteran of 12 years and won a Super Bowl, I'd walk in there and spend about 10 minutes in the locker room and go, nah, I'm good. I'm good. Let me go play somewhere else. I got my bank accounts full. I just want to win a championship. This right here will take years off my life. So I don't know that Buffalo's that situation. You think he looked at Buffalo, or you think he's just being straight up honest, it's too cold?
Yeah, I think it's all a lot of things. Family, do I want to be there? Do I want to be away from my family? And do I want to be away from my family in Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
I think all of it. Because, I mean, Clint, let's be honest, man. Hey, Pittsburgh ain't Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cold in Pittsburgh. Shoot, like, I mean, that ain't the whole way of it. All right. I did want to throw this out to you and the people, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. And Tyler, I want to start with you on this because it feels like It feels like, you tell me if I'm wrong, it feels like to me the Texans, and I've been here for four or five of these games, you've been here for six of them. It seems like this is, Tyler, the most confident I have seen Texans fans facing the Chiefs.
It's up there.
It like right now the confidence
we should be.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I think for fair reason, it feels like this at this point it feels different. You said it yesterday. They're punching up. It feels different in terms of confidence level. There's a bit of a swagger and confidence and expectation of a certain type of performance from the Texans. Tyler, start with you, and people, you can jump in on this as well. I know there's a lot of confidence. What makes you nervous about this game against the Chiefs? If anything, what makes you nervous?
Oh, I mean, I think off the top, the number one thing's got to be just the Houston Texans offense. I mean, we've seen them improve, and the arrow's pointing up, as Cal would say. But this has still been what feels like a sort of bipolar offense week in and week out for the Houston Texans. Just hope they can do enough to score enough points to win this one. But yeah, I mean, the confidence level's high, and for good reason. I think there's been some recent years where maybe Texans teams have been gearing up for a game against the Chiefs where you thought you had a better Texans team than you do this year, maybe some of those Watson years. But the Chiefs and what they've done in their decline this season absolutely makes it a more confident game for Houston and everybody going into Arrowhead.
So the offense, where do you? What it, I know you're looking at, there's always things you go into games you're concerned about. What makes you nervous in this game for the Texans?
Well, I mean, just what we've watched versus, I'd say, lesser defensive fronts and less aggressive defensive fronts, you know, kind of a false confidence, I think. I mean, I think it's about the offense, obviously. This defense is going to be legit and the real deal against whoever they play. They're going to get it done. Their identity is going to be their identity, and they're going to force their will on folks. I'm not worried about that. It's the offense that's still a little bit of, man, is this a product of some things coming together? And the OC being better, playing the right guys, the interior line, offensive line coming together, or is it, man, we just have faced some pretty pedestrian interior guys and some defenses that maybe they want to pressure, but they don't know how to time it up right, and Spags has them on a different level. I think that's still the concern for me is, the O-line, is it real against top-tier opponents? And when you got Chris Jones and Spagnuolo on the side, I don't know that I'm going to lean too much into stats.
That's interesting that neither one of you said Mahomes. I see that coming in right there. Mahomes is the number one things that makes him nervous. Someone text in Andy Reid and Mahomes. Someone text in it's cold, the weather. Yeah. Sunday night makes me nervous. But for you, Tyler, you said it was just the Texans offense, and for you, that interior offensive line, how they handle that and the Spags.
I don't think 20 points is getting it done. I mean, not comfortably. I think you're gonna have to get 24-27, and I don't, if we can't protect interior guard, center guard, we're gonna have some problems. So I think that's where I would lean more so than, look, it's a hell of a matchup. You're tuning into this game to watch the best defense in football versus Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. There's no doubt. That's why you're tuning in, no doubt.
Yeah,
but I feel pretty confident that our defense is going to do a good enough job to win the game. The question is what define good enough job? Now, and our offense is going to do that.
I think Texans fans absolutely should feel as confident as they've ever felt facing team.
Yes,
with,
agreed.
With where they're playing right now.
Kansas City ain't been here in 8 years.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll look at our college football slate. This is a championship week. As we know, it is Football Friday, but it's also Football Friday for Saturday as well. Big, big games, SEC title game, Big Ten title game, Big 12 title game, and whatever the hell they're doing in the ACC, a lot to get to. What's your game of the week on the Saturday slate? We'll get to that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, there we go. As a good time is being had here. The Drive is live on the road here at Raven Tower, as the big voice man said, 310 North Street here in Houston. As we're getting close to the 4 o'clock hour, many of you are starting to get off work to start your weekend. Get on down here. Get you a little purple haze. I see my man Shay's got a nice little nacho. Clint's rolled through the tacos. Food truck is out there. Drinks are out there. It's a really, really great crowd out here. My man Jeremy is out here having him a good time. He went and got a double on that on that purple haze. He got a whole different glass. I see that. Richie is out here from In the Loop, so come on out. And he is he needs a new purple haze, it looks like, as he is at the complete bottom of his. But come on out, man. It's a great time to get your weekend started. A great spot to watch some of these college football championship games that'll get started tonight. As well as a little NBA action also. And you can win some prizes here as well. Before we get to the Saturday slate, Clint, we hadn't talked about this. What was your reaction to Ole Miss, LSU coming together? Now, remember they wouldn't allow Lane to coach, but they have decided to allow Charlie Weiss Jr., who was the offensive coordinator for Ole Miss, and now he was one of the ones who got on the plane with Lane, and he is going to go and be a part of his coaching staff at LSU. They have allowed him to go back to Ole Miss to run the offense, and it looks like right now they're going to be in the playoff with the latest rankings.
Well, they moved up.
They moved up in it.
Yeah, they're in the playoff.
What was your thoughts about Lane, and this situation with Charlie Weiss Jr.?
The same thought I had with Lane, which is obviously I'm out on a limb by my damn self. If I'm Ole Miss and I know who I am, I've never had this chance in my life to go win a national championship in the college football playoffs. I just had the best regular season I've ever had. I would probably do things a little bit different than the world thinks I should, and I would keep things together, especially the head of the snake. And the play caller, the play designer, I would keep him together. So, hell, I thought Lane Kiffin should stay.
Well, hell, if you're going to let Charlie Weiss Jr. come back in,
come on now. Come on. So, to answer your question is, hell yeah, I would let Charlie Weiss Jr. Is it junior or third?
Junior.
Hell yeah, I'd let his ass back in the building and coach. You damn right I'm gonna try to win a national championship. I think Ole Miss screwed this thing up from jump.
I think they were trying to save face.
You're not a school that's going to keep a coach from jumping to a top five job in college football. And you're on the cusp of a national championship. You do everything you can to keep that quiet. You do everything you can to keep the building together. I hate to break it to anybody that thinks that Lane Kiffin would be – Lane Kiffin's not going to do any more inside that building from a recruitment and stealing player standpoint than he's going to do from that plush office at LSU, right? And now he's got the best of both worlds. He can go focus on being the coach at LSU, and his offensive coordinator that he hired can go down here and keep tabs on whatever players are going to transfer with him. Out of Ole Miss, so yeah. I don't.
Because Charlie's doing the same thing, like right. Charlie's going to be.
I understand the old school way of thinking of no way that coach is in my building. No way. I understand it.
But why not all of them? I just completely
disagree with it.
But I mean,
look at what North Texas is doing.
Yeah.
Guess who's coaching in their season through?
Yeah,
because Oklahoma State head coach.
Because they can get to the playoff.
Right.
And I
would argue. I would argue that it's more detrimental for a North Texas team to let an Oklahoma State coach their team in terms of stealing their players and taking their players and how much it's going to hurt their program. I would argue that it's more detrimental for the Oklahoma State coach to coach North Texas and the Florida coach to coach Tulane for those smaller organizations than it's ever going to be for Ole Miss. So I'm going to die on this mountain by my damn self, I guess.
Well, I think it's – Man, if you're going to allow him to do it, he literally signed a contract with LSU. Charlie did. He also signed one. If you're going to allow him, it'd be more open to do that.
I'm going to tell you, I love Arkansas, I mean, as much as I can love any program. I said, if Lane Kiffin wants to come to Arkansas and win 11 games and then announce that he's going to take an Alabama job or an LSU job, I'm going to beg his ass to stay around and help us win a national title. And then I'm going to raise some funds and put a statue of his ass out front of the stadium. You got to know who you are, man. If you're LSU, Alabama, Florida, Florida State, Tennessee, one of these schools that are constantly.
You probably wouldn't have them leaving if you're 11.
If you're one of those schools, then go ahead and give ultimatums, man. Kick them up out of there. But if you're a long shot year in, year out, and you should be happy winning 8 games and being in a bowl game. I mean, come on, man. I got to keep that crew together, man. I got to keep the band together and go one more show.
Yeah, one more. All right, Tyler, you knew I was coming for it. This is a obviously championship week. A lot will get determined here. And I know Notre Dame and Miami are watching this closely. A lot of interesting games this week. You just spoke of North Texas and Tulane. Looks like the winner of that game will get into the college football playoff. BYU, number 11 BYU, they've got a chance to get into the college football playoff as they play Texas Tech. Number 4 Texas Tech in the Big 12 title game in Dallas or Arlington, wherever it is. Duke and Virginia, whatever, in the ACC championship game.
Well, if Duke wins that game, that's one of the more interesting ones. If Duke wins that game, this thing's going to get turned on its head.
Oh, I can't wait to see what they do. Georgia, Alabama, and Atlanta, the SEC title game. And then 1-2, Ohio State, Indiana, and Indianapolis for the Big Ten title game. Text in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What's your game of the week? Where are you at, Clint?
Well, I mean, I don't have any skin in the game whatsoever. But I'm gonna go BYU Texas Tech. I mean, I want to.
That's a big that's probably the biggest game that can determine a shift and change.
Well, we gotta look. I mean, there's being from Texas, in state school. I want to see Texas Tech make this run. I want to see them put an exclamation point at the end of this thing and have a good showing. They're in. Obviously, there's no way. I think. The question here is, do they stay high enough to get the bye? But if I had to pick a game, I'd go BYU Texas Tech. I'm not a believer.
You think that has a chance to be a game? Like you think BYU has chance to win that game? 29-7 the last time they played.
Yeah, I mean I think it has a chance to be a hell of a game. Yeah, I mean it's you know, to me when I look at that, I love Texas Tech and them being able to hopefully run the table and a Texas school win this thing. If A&M doesn't, Tyler, sorry about that. I think if BYU loses, obviously it's going to create more chaos at the bottom. And from that 10-14 swamp right there of where you all of a sudden you got Texas and Miami and Notre Dame and all of that mess right there, what happens there? The Duke-Virginia game we mentioned, the Duke game can throw complete chaos into the college football playoff.
Yeah, ACC won't get a team.
I'm here for that. Not only will they not get a team, but you got there's North Texas, there's Tulane, there's James Madison, there's
one of those other teams that
may get in. I mean, it's wild.
By the way, I think the committee would screw Notre Dame, and I think that would help Miami get in.
So you think Duke can somehow screw Notre Dame?
Well, I just think if Duke wins, there would be an ACC team in. I think they would then put Miami, an ACC team in, over Notre Dame. Which they should anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean that's a good. I never thought about it like that. That's a good
like
point.
Like
just
tonight
to get representation.
Yeah, to get that rep in. Boy, a 10-2 team. They got a 10-2 team
Notre,
in the ACC.
Notre Dame typically picks who they want to get screwed by. that's not that logo is gonna that logo being in there is gonna get more eyeballs on it. Unfortunately, not a big fan.
Notre Dame.
What it is. Sorry, Pendergast. Right? Then the Georgia Alabama game. You know, if Alabama loses that game and has three losses, I totally understand that the championship games supposedly can't hurt you. You might want to call Patterson from TCU and who was it, Baylor?
I know it was with four.
Who was it, Baylor? That's okay. Yeah. It's the same people making him decision, right? There ain't no decision. What's going on right now back then between 3, 4, 5, and 6?
Alabama better be a damn loss.
Hey, man. I'm telling you, three losses with that loss to Florida State, the resume, other than having one more game, is going to look a lot like Texas. And you got Notre Dame and Miami down there as well. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I think Alabama's in no matter what, because that's a powerful brand as well. But it'll be interesting what they do. And then I think the Ohio State Indiana game for me is
that's the one for me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
know how good either one of those teams are. To be honest,
I think Ohio State got some horses, boss.
Got some horses, but yeah.
The question in that game for me is, can Indiana keep up? And if Indiana can prove that they can keep up against Ohio State, I think I personally look at Indiana differently as they go into the college football playoff.
They went on the road to Autzen Stadium against Oregon, and they were clearly the better team. Clearly the better team when they played Oregon.
Yeah,
that's their big win. But outside of that,
I think this is a better team. I think it's a different team.
Yeah.
I do wonder.
He can win the Heisman, by the way, their quarterback.
Does he, no doubt. Does he have the horses to compete with Ohio State, the teams that have the horses? Yeah. Can Indiana do – not only can they do it three times in the college football playoff? If they compete at a high level here against Ohio State, hell, if they beat them, we'll know it. But if they compete at a high level against Ohio State, there's no other way to spin it other than they do have – guys that can keep up, and that to me that changes the game for Indiana and kind of how I personally view them.
Yeah, that's the one that jumps to me. I know a lot of chaos could be caused with the ACC championship game in the SEC championship game if Alabama loses and they have three losses, and then what happens if Virginia loses? But one versus two, to me, to see how good those teams are.
I think the biggest advantage that can come from these games is the game I pick, BYU-Texas Tech. I think if Texas Tech stays in the top four, they win and stay in the top four, I think they get a bye in the college football playoffs, and they're one step closer, they're fresher. I think they've got an advantage that they probably need. I know he's built a squad up there, but he's got an advantage with that bye week that he probably needs. And that gives him a better chance to make that run.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see them stay in that top four.
Yeah, it'll be a fun weekend. All right, what you got coming up?
Well, I think there's big factors this week in this Texans game, but I think one of them, historically, Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, the stats will tell you that his pressure packages absolutely get home. That's not necessarily the case this year, and I think it bodes well. I know it bodes well for the Houston Texans. We'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.